Good evening. Well, turn to your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 14. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. It's always a pleasure and honor to preach the Word of God. I appreciate Pastor giving me the opportunity to do it. And today I want to look at something that when I found out I was going to preach, it was something that God kind of just touched my heart about. It's something that, you know, I feel like is applicable to the time that we're living in, is applicable to everything that, you know, our world, us as Christians, everyone seems to be going through. And it's a topic on really the there's like one phrase I want to focus on in the passage, and we'll get to that here in 1 Samuel chapter number 14. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost parts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is at Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Achiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing the ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez and the name of the other, Sina. The forefront of the one was situate north over against Michmash and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over the garrison these uncircumcised. And this is where I want to focus. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for all that you've done in this church this year, Lord, through the good times, the bad times, Lord. I pray that you just continue to keep us safe, keep us healthy. Those that are struggling with different illnesses, sicknesses, Lord, I pray that you would heal them. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give us all a good service, Lord. Help the words that I preach to be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. So the situation here is not a good one. In this passage here, we're looking at a battle between the Philistines, who were throughout Israel's history the sworn enemies of Israel. They were the thorn in the flesh, so to speak, of the nation of Israel. And on the other side was God's chosen people, the Israelites. And initially, I'm not going to go back and read the entire chapter, but if you look at chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, the battle goes very well. It's successful, they have a good victory, and things are going well. But at some point in the battle, it turns, and the Philistines get together an army that is just massive. And the Israelites now have a significantly greater enemy than they thought they'd have to face. And in chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "They gathered themselves together with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. And people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude." So now the tide has turned, so to speak, and the nation of Israel is now facing a threat they can't handle on their own. And we're going to look at several different situations in this passage of what people did. And we're living in a tough time in this country. It's a very difficult time that we live in. It's a very difficult circumstances that we're going through. For Christians, for non-Christians alike, people are sick, people are dying. Many people have died in the last year from this pandemic. And as Christians, it's kind of hard because many times we're kind of frozen in place. If you could take me off of this, it's not working. If you could, it just seems like we're stuck in neutral, not knowing what to do. Do we go forward? Do we retreat? Like, what do we do? And it seems like we're kind of stuck in this place and we don't know where to go. And Jonathan and his armor bearer are the ones we're going to focus on. Really, that's going to be kind of where the main part of the message comes from. They were in a situation similar to that. They had quite literally two massive rocks, one on either end, that prevented them from going to the other side and attacking the enemy. But as we're going to see, that didn't stop them. They didn't say, oh, well, it's too difficult. Let's turn around and go back. No. He goes, let us go over to the garrison. It may be that the Lord will work for us. He is not restrained to save by many or by few. And the truth is that many times, if as Christians we just kind of take the mentality of, oh, it's too difficult, we can't go over, we're going to end up like unfortunately, like a lot of Israel's history. We can go back through and look at it. You can see the times where they chose not to trust God. You can see time and time again where God had to punish them for their lack of faith in him. And time again, in our own lives, I think we could look back on times where it's like, man, I should have just trusted God. He knew where it was all along. If I had just trusted him a little bit longer, if I had just done, and you fill in the blank, you know, it probably would have worked out. And I think as Christians in 2021, it's time to go forward. You know, it doesn't have to be an army of 50,000. It doesn't have to be 100,000. Many times in the Bible, God didn't use the large numbers. He would use one. He would use a couple hundred. He would use a couple. Just anyone that chose to take a stand for what was right. And as we look at this situation, I want to first take a look at those that were hiding. And back in chapter number 13, and really, all the Israelites are now stuck in a situation where they can't move forward. And Saul is in a situation where he has a decision to make. And in verse 8 of 13, it says, "And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed." Apparently, there had been a time where he needed to wait for 7 days, and Samuel was going to come and offer the sacrifice. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered. So the situation's bad. What are they going to do? And he says, "Bring hither the burnt offering to me." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of the offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went to salute him. If he had just waited a few more minutes. And this is the situation. It was good. It was going good. And then this army comes, and now Saul's stuck. He doesn't know what to do. And instead of waiting like God had told him to, knowing that God had everything in control, he rushed. And all of a sudden now people are stuck. Now the people are afraid. The people are all scattered all over the place. And we're going to look at the end. There were people hiding in caves. There were people hiding out in mountains, wherever they could get, behind bushes, whatever they could do to get away from this terrible situation. And so as we see those that have a choice to make, first off, I want to see those that kind of just did nothing. And that's in verse 2. And Saul, now keep in mind, this is the king. This is the one God's appointed to lead his nation. This is the one that God's appointed to move forward for Israel. "Tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree, which is at Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. The leader of Israel, at a time when they needed someone who would stand up and make a decision to go forward for God, seeing that he might work for them, is doing nothing. He's quite literally sitting down underneath the pomegranate tree resting. There's no other, it doesn't say he's hiding, it doesn't say he's running. He's sitting under a pomegranate tree and 600 men with him. He's got a whole army of people there and he's hiding. Not hiding, he's just sitting around, you know, doing nothing under a pomegranate tree. And now, Jonathan sees this. But he doesn't only see that. He sees others with him. And I want to flip down to the end of the passage and I want to kind of point out this fact. It says in verse 21, which we haven't gotten to, "Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up from them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Philistines." What that's saying is there were some when this battle got rough that joined the Philistine side because they were afraid of the situation. So this is a situation that's gone from bad to worse. The leader of a nation is hiding. And not doing anything. The people, a number of the army has joined the other side. And everything is looking bad. Everything's looking bleak. Everything's looking sad. And the lazy, I see, first of all, were discouraged with those who had left. You know, they were discouraged with the situation around them. You know, they had probably seen the people run off to join the Philistines. They'd seen those that ran and hide, and they were like, well, we're 600. We can't stand up to numbers on the seashore. We can't stand up to 50,000 foot horsemen, chariots, all the things that we just saw in number. We can't do that. See, once again, their focus is on the wrong thing. As Christians, many times we can focus on the numbers. We can focus on the situation. It's like, okay, you know, if you just estimate how many people are here watching on live stream, there's, you know, maybe a couple hundred, and we're like, well, how are we supposed to reach a county of 500,000, 600,000 people? How are we supposed to do that? The problem is we're not. It's not our job. Our job is to obey the commands God has given us. And, you know, God's commands are simple. They're not very difficult. It's, you know, preach the gospel. And for many of us, that might be, okay, well, we can go door to door on Saturdays. And we're going to be doing that again this Saturday for Easter Sunday. You know, we'll go door to door, we'll go door to door. What about those that are, you know, I know that some of you are in situations, you know, especially those that are watching live, that you're like, I don't know that I'm, you know, we're healthy enough or the situation. And listen, I understand that. And I fully understand your concerns. Well, if you have stuff delivered, how about the guy that delivers it? If you have stuff, you know, if you have neighbors, maybe someone you talk to, you know, if you have friends, anyone you see, anyone you come in contact with is an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And if we all work together to fulfill the command God has given us to share the gospel, a large task like reaching a county or a state or a nation of people can be accomplished very easily. God doesn't need 50,000 people to go reach the state of New Jersey with. He just wants people that are dedicated, sold out, committed to him. 12 men who, many of them didn't have a great education, didn't have all the things, ran away and hid in the difficult circumstances, changed the world for Jesus Christ just shortly after his resurrection, because they didn't look at it like a numbers thing. They looked at it as God has given us a command. We're going to fulfill that command and see what he does. And you know what? That verse in Ephesians is still there, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But the problem is the lazy here got stuck, discouraged with those that had left and joined the other side. Saul, like I said, doesn't say why he's doing what he's doing, but I can imagine he's a little discouraged from the conversation he's just had with Samuel, where he talks about ripping the kingdom away from him for his disobedience. And he's stuck here in this situation where he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know where to move. And he's frozen. And then you have those that ran and joined the other side. And all of this started to happen. All this started to happen. Just two men started to change the situation. But we had the lazy, the people that were, you know, I like to refer to them as almost the bandwagon fans. If you're a sports fan, you know what that is. That's someone that when the times are good, they're like wearing the gear. They have the flag waving outside their house. They're like, go team. But when times are bad, they're like rolling the flag in, you know, they tuck it away at the back of their closet and you never see it or hear from them. And the truth is, we can't be bandwagon fan Christians in the year 2021. We can't be the one that when, you know, great revivals, things are happening, people are getting saved, we're like, amen, yes. But, you know, when things are tough, discouraging things happen, we cower away into our corner and we join up with the other side. We're doing things that the world's doing. We're not following after God. We can't be that because the world sees right through it. The world sees our jumping back and forth. And the Bible is very clear. It says, no man can serve two masters. See, they were almost afraid of losing, it seems like. They jumped over to the other side. And when we're going to talk about it, when the battle started to switch, they switched. They're back and forth. You don't know which side they're on. And then we had those two. Then we have those that were in hiding. And that is in verse 22. It says, likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim. They found a mountain. It's a pretty good, I think it's a pretty good hiding place. They ran up into a mountain to get away from the battle. And when the battle started going good, they jumped on board. And the reason I'm going through these three so quickly is because I think that this last one we're going to talk about can change all those other categories. And he doesn't need 50,000 people to change those that are scared, to change those that are
flip-flopping back and forth, to change those that are just stuck and frozen in time. And trust me, fear is a paralyzing thing. It has a way of just stopping you in your tracks where you can't move forward. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. It overwhelms you. That's why it's such a powerful tool of the devil. He tries to get people scared because when you're scared, you can't move forward. You can't go forward for God. You can't really do anything. You know, think deer in the headlights look. That moment where they see it, they panic and they freeze and they can't move. And that had happened to many people in Israel. Some were just sitting under a pomegranate tree. Some were so frozen in fear, they fled and ran away. Some were joined the other side. But now, we're going to look at Jonathan and his armor bearer and those that were faithful. And I want to go to verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 14. I know we're kind of flip-flopping back and forth. And this is an important verse, I think. I believe in this passage, reading it and seeing how God used the two men. And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." See, Jonathan decided we're going to do this, and his armor bearer said, "Yes, we are." He had another person with him who had faith. He had another person with him that said, "Okay, you know what? I'm with you. I'll take a stand with you." In 2021, many times when you first take that step of faith, you're going to be doing it by yourself. And that's true of any circumstance in any situation. I think of the book of Daniel. In verse 8 it says, "And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself." And then you look a couple verses later and who's with him? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And then a couple chapters after that, they're being thrown into a fiery furnace for their faith. But verse 8 only talks about Daniel. He's the one that requested of the prince of the eunuchs not to defile himself. He's the one that decided to take the original stand. He may have done it alone to start, but very quickly people followed him. So we need some people who are going to be Jonathan and say, "You know what? It might be a tough situation, but it's not too big for God. There's no situation too big for our God." And I believe that, like Pastor has said, like many other people have said, the best days for Christianity, the best days for this church, the best days for, you know, all of that are ahead of us. And it's because of the goodness of our God. It's because he is always faithful. He's always true. He's always with us. And verse 8 is this battle strategy. It says, "Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over these men and we will discover ourselves unto them." Well, I like studying history. I like looking at different things. This is not a strategy in battle that I've seen work in many occasions. But you know what? The first subpoint underneath these faithful men is that they weren't afraid of the size of the enemy because they knew God was greater than that. They knew no matter what size the enemy was, God was greater. "If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place. But if they say, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." And the verse 11 talks about them discovering themselves. And the second half of the verse says, "The Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing." I'm amazed at the confidence of his armor of him right here. And it says, "Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." You see the arrogance of the Philistines. They're like, "Oh, it's just two of them. Come on up here. We'll show you something. We'll show you a thing." But you know what? They didn't know. They didn't know what God was about to do. And you know what? Jonathan and his armor bearer chose to do it. You know, now the moment of truth. Now it's the time to say, okay, you know, we've had faith to this point. Now it's time to put it to action. And many times that's the toughest part. You may say, you know, make a decision, "Oh man, I really want to do this for God. I really want to, you know, I really want to get up at 5 in the morning and read the Bible, and I want to read for an hour and pray for an hour before work," or whatever it may be. And then that alarm clock goes off. And it's like, "Man, I had a tough day yesterday. It was a long day. I got to get up. I got to do it. I got to, you know." And that's the tough part, committing to it, creating a habit where every day it's like, "I'm up reading my Bible and I'm with the Lord each and every day." You know, it might be, "I need to be a faithful soul winner." And then someone passes you in the street. It's like Lord's tapping you on the shoulder. Hey, talk to that person. And then all of a sudden you like freeze up. Those are the moments where our faith is made, where faith is really put to the test. Many times in college, they would say this many times, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. If you're not willing to test your faith, are you really putting your trust in it? And Jonathan and his armor bearer were like, let's go. And verse 13, it says, Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer slew after him. I see their faith rewarded. And once again, they weren't afraid because they had seen and heard the stories of how God had worked before. I think that story is incredible. Two men going up to meet a garrison of another army. Hands and feet, that's how they had to climb up. You can't hold a weapon that way. You can't fight a battle that way unless God's on your side. And the Bible literally says, and they fell before Jonathan. That means they like literally fell in front of him and his armor bearer was slaying them after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. And I don't know a whole lot about farming. Never really been big on that. It's too smelly, dirty. I'm not a big person when it comes to farming. That's just the truth. And I see that and I kind of tried to picture, you know, how wide a yoke of oxen might be. It's not very wide. I mean, it could be 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 feet if you're talking realistic. And they're climbing up on their hands and knees, slaying these men as they get up there. But you know what? God was on their side. The odds, the dimensions, you know, the situation wasn't on their side, but God was. And as they climb up, they get there. And then verse 15. And there was a trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. God's involved in it now. It was never just two men versus an army of multitude. It was never just two men, but now the visible results are being seen. And when I see this passage, text really kind of, I don't know if it was then when I read it or just shortly thereafter, but when I was in college, my junior year going into my senior year, those of you that were in church here, you guys knew me and my sister, we had to sit out for a whole semester because of just a bunch of different things, mainly because we couldn't afford to go back. And it was tough because I was like, I got 1.5 years left. I didn't know if I was going to be able to graduate on time. It was tough. It was a very difficult situation. And it got up to end of April, early May, and me and my sister both got calls from the school offering us an opportunity to do a scholarship program that offered to pay basically one semester's worth of school. And it was like, oh man, that's exciting. You know, it's a great opportunity. But in my own mind, I had like, I don't even think it was a week earlier, had asked Pastor if I could intern here that summer and help out with VBS and different things that were going on here. And this was 6 or 7 years ago now. And he had said, he had been thinking about it, and I think it was like the day before they called me that he had said yes. So I was like set into doing it. And I was like, well, I know this is what I had felt like God wanted me to do before I knew this option was on the table. I'm not going to make this decision now just because it's going to give me money for school. And so I turned it down. And it was a good summer. I got to work here. It was great. I loved every minute of it. And it got towards the end of the summer, and I had enough to go back to school and get through, but I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to pay for the whole year. And once again, all those questions were coming back up. And I want to say it was 2 days after that program was going to have ended. So the program ended on like a Monday or a Tuesday. I want to say it was like a Thursday. I got a phone call from a random number. And if you have a cell phone, you kind of know. It's like, oh yeah, just swipe that. It's probably someone just trying to sell me something. And I did that. And I was in the car with my older brother. We were hanging out. We were talking. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to bother myself with that right now. I don't know what it is. And so I did that. I put my phone away like 5 or 10 minutes later. A text message came through. And you know, there are times in your life, and I can say this honestly, growing up in church here, having, you know, my parents being here, faithful to church here. It's just faith and, you know, your faith in God. It's just, there's a lot of times where you lean on your parents for it. And I'm not going to lie. That was me a lot growing up. Sometimes it was just the duty of doing it and different things. But I feel like there's been several of these, not to this extent, but several moments where you feel like, okay, God is now, it's not just your parents, it's not just your church, it's very personal. And I looked at the text message and I was like, well, this is weird. And because it was a number I didn't recognize, so I flipped it down, opened it up. And it was like, oh, this is so-and-so from the college, from the West Coast, where I went to school. And I said, I just wanted to let you know that someone anonymously put, and it was to the penny. And I can't make it up, to the penny what I would have made had I gone on the summer internship. And I was just flabbergasted. I was like, I told my brother, I was like, you need to look at this, so just pull over. So he pulled over on the shoulder, put the hazards on, looked at it. And we were just, and I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't think I'm super emotional. I don't cry a lot. But that was one of those moments where I was just in tears, like, this is real. When you do what God wants you to do, he really does do stuff like this. And Jonathan and his armor bearer have gotten to that point. They've acted. And now it's God in, you know, many times the moment the decisions of faith aren't made with the lightning and the flashing and the earthquakes and all that. It's in those quiet moments. But then, you know, when you least expect it, when, you know, you're worried, your backs are against the wall, God shows up in this way that's miraculous, you can't explain. And now the earthquake's happening. And the watchman of Saul looked, and it said, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. They started attacking each other. Then Saul said to the people that were with him, number now and see who has gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And he said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. It came to pass while Saul talked with the priest, that the noise was in the host of the Philistines went and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with them assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a great discomfiture. And then we read verses 21 and 22, where Jonathan and his armor bearer stand up, take a stand, do what's right. And God blesses. God brings the miracle. Things are going great. Now the battle's fantastic. And all the people that were hiding, that were afraid, that were scared, are now coming out to fight. Now they have the bravery, the toughness to stand up and fight the battle with them. See, when you make a decision to move forward in a difficult situation, when you make a decision to take a stand, when you make a decision to move forward where the you can't see what's going to happen, but you know God is in it, it works out. And there's no explaining it. How can you explain an army of two knocking out multitudes which the sand can't number for the seashore? You can't explain it except for one thing, and that is God. And I love the part of the verse that we read at the beginning. For the Lord, there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And you may be here tonight, and you may be watching on live stream, and you might say, well, this, you know, I've been terrified. I've been scared. Maybe irrationally so. Maybe rationally so. I've just been scared. I don't know what to do. Well, find a way to move forward for God. Find a way to take that next step of faith. If it means finding a way to reach out to somebody in your neighborhood that you need to talk to about the Lord, do it. If it means just passing out tracts to people that come to your door, whether it be a grocery delivery person or a mailman, whoever it may be, then do it. If it's, you know, maybe you're at home and you're thinking, oh man, you know, I've just been making excuses. I need to get out more. Well, come out to church. Start to be a witness. Be a faithful testimony for God. And if you're saying, you know, I've been trying to stay faithful, but I'm really getting discouraged. I'm kind of just, you know, tired. I'm tempted to sit down. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God can give you the strength to get through. Don't rely on yourself for that energy, that strength, that gusto, so to speak. Trust in the Lord. As a church, we need to move forward for the Lord. We need to move forward. God, the Christian life is a battle. And so we as a church need to battle for the Lord in Ocean County. We need to help win souls, to be faithful so that they don't spend an eternity in hell. Or, you know, if they live past the rapture, they don't have to live for the tribulation beforehand. We can save them from all of that. Not us in our own strength, but with the power of God on our side, we can do that. I think about, like I said, they weren't afraid because they had seen him work before. I think of Gideon. Gideon was a man with 300. Going against, I don't have the number in front of me, over 100,000, I believe it was. Some 120,000, 130,000 troops. That may be overshooting it a little bit. But it was a lot. It was way more than 300. It was way more than 10,000. And you know what? They had fantastic weapons. Nope, they had pitchers and lights and a trumpet. But you know what? God won that one. Joshua, you know, he had a couple million. You must think, oh man, they must have been great soldiers. The battle plan must have been great. Oh, they walked around a wall 13 times over 7 days, and after the 13th time, the seventh time on the seventh day, you know, they got to the end, shouted, blew trumpets, and the walls fell down. That doesn't seem like great battle strategy, but it worked. You may think, well, I don't have much. I can't do much. Well, good news for you, God used a donkey in the Old Testament when he used Balaam's. And you might think, well, I don't even know. I can't speak that well. He used Lazarus, and the man was dead. Think about it. I was reading this in Devotions a couple weeks ago. Lazarus, when he rose from the dead, it changed so many people that the high priests were talking about killing him with Jesus because of the impact he had made. Because so many people were being converted to believing in Jesus Christ because of one man. So what's stopping us? Daniel was one man in a nation of people that hated God. No one there knew God. Elijah was one man standing in front of 800 prophets of the enemy, in front of an entire nation of people that couldn't decide what side of the fence they were on. He stood there and watched them for 8 hours try and call upon their false gods and uttered 63 words, and God moved the entire nation to turn back to God. So there's no hindrance. I love it. There is no restraint for the Lord to save by many or by few. It may be that the Lord will work for us. So my question for you guys, for us, for myself, is what is your battlefield right now? It could be something personal. What is your obstacle? Are you going to be, you know, lazy and just kind of sit around and let it stay there and not really work on moving it? Are you going to be fearful and frozen and kind of not sure what to do? Are you going to go hide? Are we going to be fickle and bandwagon jumping back and forth? Or are we going to say, let's be Jonathans tonight and let's stand up and fight and win, because the battle's been won. That's the exciting part about it. We're fighting a winning battle. There's no doubt. We can go into it and be like, okay, if we stand up in faith and follow after God and follow his plan, we win. I've read the end of the book. It's exciting. It's a lot better than it is now. And so that's my question for you. What are you going to be? If you may say, I've been fearful. I've been, you know, stuck. I've been, you know, maybe I haven't been reading my Bible. I've been lazy on my Bible reading, my prayer time. And that's something I think that every single Christian in this world could probably say that they could work on. Because Pastor Anthony said it many times. I've heard it many times. It's the most powerful tool we have. It isn't a last resort. It should be our first option. And so, maybe that's some of us. But we can all be faithful. We can all, you know, another teacher we had at college basically said, today is the beginning of the rest of your Christian life. Something to the effect of that. Which, what that means is, today, from this day forward, you can choose to be faithful. You can choose to live for God. You can choose to move forward. We as a church can decide, we're not going to let these times, these difficulties beat us. The Bible says the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. That was Jesus Christ himself that said that. And that's a promise. And so let's move forward. Let's stand up for God. Let's be faithful. And let God use us. And let him watch him work. That's the awesome part. Jonathan and his armor, they decided they were going to go up, and they got to the top of the mountain, and all of a sudden the enemy started attacking each other. They didn't have to do much. They had to take the first step of faith and then watch God do the rest of it. So let's pray, and then we're going to take prayer requests and then go to prayer at the end. Dear Lord, I just thank you for all that you've done, Lord. I thank you for examples like Jonathan and his armor bearer. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for the men throughout the Bible. I think of Daniel. I think of David and the many others that we could go through. And I pray that as we go through our lives as Christians, as we go through forward as Ocean County Baptist Church, that we would take the mindset that it may be that the Lord will work for us. For, Lord, we know that you can save with a lot. You can save with a few. You don't need numbers, Lord. You just need our willingness to move forward. And I just pray that as we continue to move forward, that we would show and exercise that faith in you, and that you would bless us in tremendous ways. In Jesus' name, amen.